The Taliban seem to be allowing some Americans to leave Afghanistan, but things are far less certain for friends of Americans there. That is, Afghans who served as interpreters, drivers, partners. And their fate is of particular concern to American servicemen and women who served there. One of those is Robert Couture. He served in Afghanistan in 2007 to 2008 and again in 2009 to 2010, and he now works in communications and public affairs for the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Robert, good to have you.
Scott, thanks for having me on the program.
So when you think about the Afghan people you connected with, you know, how do you think about where we are now?
It was so long ago. Some of the children that I would see in the villages, I mean, they're all adults or almost adults. And I just remember going through there and just hoping that we were giving them a better future. And, you know, what's tragic to me is that, you know, 20 years of this persistent conflict has been bookended by terror. If you think back to 9/11, when we all watched people fall to their deaths from the World Trade Center, and then to see that again with Afghans in terror falling to their death from planes as they left Afghanistan, it's heart-wrenching.
You mentioned going there with the mission of providing a better life for Afghans. To some degree, do you think you did?
That was, of course, what part of the mission was. Myself, and as well as many of my other Afghan vets, we remind ourselves to hold our head high that for 20 years, there wasn't another 9/11 on U.S. soil. There wasn't another attack to that magnitude.
You know, you started off by mentioning some of the children whose faces you remember. I wonder if you have a particular moment with an Afghan national that really kind of captures something you hold on to.
I have many, actually. One particular mission, we were in the Khost province. I remember we stopped at this village and remember seeing this group of children. And I had, at the time, four children, and three of them were daughters. And there was this one little girl that was there. She couldn't have been about 3 or 4 years old. And she must have had the flu or something. It was just a tremendous amount of mucus coming from her face. And she was dirty. And she was crying. And there was no one there for her. And I just, it broke my heart as a father to not be able to go over to her and pick her up and hold her like I would one of my own daughters.
Do you have a sense, you work for a veterans organization, about the broader conversations that veterans are having right now?
Absolutely. I mean, not only across, you know, the VFW and different members that were Afghan war vets, but many of my friends who don't belong who are Afghan war vets who are posting pictures of their time there, and the interpreters that we work so closely with, and the different outposts that they were at where they had Afghan National Police and Afghan Army soldiers that they worked alongside of. And it's been very difficult to watch. You know, the Veterans of Foreign Wars has been around for 22 years. And I think about the generations of veterans that have had to endure something very similar to what we're seeing today. If we go all the way back to the World War I veteran that almost 20 years later from their time in France, and to see Nazi tanks and the army just sweep across France after they lost friends and, you know, they shed their blood and so many laid down their lives. So many died in World War I. And imagine what they must have felt like. That was all for naught. And to be here in the United States and just feel helpless because we hadn't entered the war yet. Of course, the Vietnam War vet and the fall of Saigon, and as recently as Iraq War vet, when they saw ISIS sweep across northern Iraq. It's a tough time for people to look at that and not say, man, what did we go there for? You know, with that shared experience, it's important for us to reach out to one another. And if it's someone out there listening and they know someone who's an Afghan war vet, it's important for you to reach out and check up on them.
Well, you know, as you and other Afghan war veterans are processing these thoughts, these recollections, there's a parallel conversation happening inside the Beltway, as you know, of who lost Afghanistan, or the president suggesting, you know, the chaos was inevitable. I mean, there is always a public reckoning that public people go through. But do you have a sense whether that public conversation rings false to many veterans who were there?
We have to just look to our leaders and say, what could you have done better? And hold them accountable for not doing everything that they could to make it a proper non-combatant evacuation order. It's in a really tough situation for not only the Americans that are trapped there, but also for thousands of Afghans that we gave them our word that we would provide them refuge, evacuate them from a horrible situation. And we hope that our administration holds to its word and making sure that they have safe passage out.
I guess I'm trying to ask you, for those who dealt with life and death in real lives in Afghanistan, who then hear inside Washington a conversation that falls along familiar partisan lines. We know who's going to be criticizing the president, and we have others who are defending the president. And I just wonder whether, speaking for yourself or other veterans you've been in touch with, does part of you say, come on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we didn't have a choice on picking and choosing which war we went to. We went there because we were ordered to go. And we picked up, we left our family. I told my children, I'm going there so someone else can come home to their children. Mm. So we do our mission. We keep each other safe. We try and get everybody home. It doesn't matter who's in office. I mean, I had at least four presidents that I served during my 24 years of service. And so, you know, we would hope that what they do is the right thing for the American people, for American service members.
Speaking of the president, President Biden, as you know, has suggested the Afghan army just folded and allowed the Taliban in without fighting. Does that make sense to you, having been there?
You know, over these 20 years, there have been so many Afghan National Security Force policemen and soldiers that given their lives for their nation. It's really hard to say that they just gave up, because it's for many of us that served, we saw, especially for like the Afghan commandos, we saw their valor and bravery on the battlefield.
Finally, I'd love to get your thoughts on America's place in the world right now. I mean, you wear the flag on your shoulder for two deployments there. And we spoke to a correspondent in Moscow who said in Russian social media, there's a saying that says, you know, if you think you're having a bad day, imagine being the Americans who have spent 20 years replacing the Taliban with the Taliban. I mean, that kind of stuff is being said about the United States right now. And as somebody who has fought for the country, how do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I don't let anything that Russia says get underneath my skin. Uh-huh. They had many failures, to include Afghanistan. I'm still proud of my country. Many of us are. You know, we can't avenge the world of everything. But I think that when the time comes and we're called upon to do a mission that is right, that the U.S. military is going to move out and we're going to win. We have to have people that believe that we are the greatest fighting force on the face of the earth, even in the face of what we're seeing in Afghanistan today.
Robert Couture, U.S. Army veteran, served two tours in Afghanistan, now working for the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Robert, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.